Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., streaming live during the radio broadcast at richarddugan.com, as well as podcasting at the radio show's page of the same web address, richarddugan.com, as well as SoundCloud and iTunes, and we are also on Facebook. Yes, I've got a Twitter account. I'm still working on all of that stuff. It's just not so much that it's complicated. I can figure it out. It's figuring out the time. Time is, on the one hand, between time and natural disasters, the great equalizers in our universe, it puts everybody on the same page. We're going to have a really fun program today because we're going to ask you to tap into your body's vital source of energy and wellness. We are, of course, not talking about your primary care physician. the irony is, who knows, maybe my guest can assist me in this process of figuring out a better, cheaper, and much more efficient health plan than the ones that are out there these days, whether it's the Affordable Care Act, or whether it's Blue Cross, whether it's whatever, Anthem, I don't care who you name. There's got to be something better than what's out there right now. And I have a feeling that she may have an inside track to all of this. The author of Chakra Healing for Vibrant Energy, Exploring Your Seven Energy Centers with Mindfulness, Yoga, and Ayurveda. I want to welcome to our studios via Skype, Michelle Fondon. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Richard.
This is a big issue for everybody, healthcare. There are basically two ways of looking at it. You're either trying to deal with a condition, we can refer to it as a disease, or you're doing preventative maintenance, which I personally would prefer. To use a car analogy, my father gave me many years ago, even before I was driving, he said, if you take your car in on a regular basis and you have it maintained, you get the oil changed, the filter changed every 3,000 to 5,000 miles. If you just do that little amount, your car is going to last a lot longer and you're going to be making smaller payments once the car's paid off, i.e. in repairs, than if you hadn't done that. What would you consider to be the equivalent for human beings in that regard, as far as because there's an old joke from the old Johnny Carson show that I went into my mechanic and he had checked my points, my condenser, my plugs, and he said, if you like my work, bring your car in. So tell me, I know we're going to focus on the chakras, but right. Talk to me about preventative maintenance.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, that is actually my specialty, is preventive health and alternative and complementary health care, because I wholeheartedly believe that if you take care of your body now and every day and you're consistent in that care, that you won't have to worry about it in the future. And I really believe that. And, you know, it's something that I've always innately known, that if you eat right, and in fact, I wrote a book also called Enlightened Medicine, Your Power to Get Well Now, which talks about integrative health. And it talks about that Western medicine should be used as a last resort. And what you should be focusing on is eating, you know, healthy, organic, whole foods, exercising daily, meditating, taking care of your emotional health, making time for yourself, which many of us don't seem to do these days. It's always like, we're like the Energizer Bunny, where we put in those batteries and we just run till the batteries run out. And it's, you know, it's all about taking the time for yourself day to day, and in taking the time to do those things, taking the time to meditate, taking the time to exercise, eat holistic foods, organic foods, and, you know, stay away from the junk. And when you do that, like you said, like the vehicle, your car will run a lot longer, your body will run a lot longer, and you won't have to go to the Western doctor.
Yeah. Another wonderful little analogy in reference to reincarnation is for those who believe in that, and that is that I always ask this question: How many cars, usually this person of in their 40s, 50s, 60s, how many cars have you had in your lifetime? And it's a lot of folks have had 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe more. And I said, well, the fact of the matter is that basically all we're doing is we're changing vehicles in this eternity, if you will. And even if you don't believe in reincarnation and you believe in an afterlife, you're going to be taking on a different kind of body. I don't know what it is. No clue. Hey, for all I know, we're all going to be naked, but we're going to be energy. We're going to be souls, spirits. Again, I have no clue. And I keep getting asked this question time and time again by a good, good friend of mine who keeps worrying about whether or not there is an afterlife. And I said, well, there is nobody on the planet who can answer that for you definitively. What I can tell you is, in my own mind, it doesn't make a lot of sense that we're here, we're doing what we're doing, we're focused on the things that we're focused on. For example, on this program, we're going to be talking about those energy centers, the chakras, and chakra healing for vibrant energy. It doesn't make a lot of sense that we're doing all this stuff and then the lights go out and that's it. And there is no more.
Exactly.
My logical brain, which I don't know where it came from, it doesn't compute. It just doesn't. So that's the best. And that was the best I could do for this person. But again, I'm not afraid of whatever the alternative is, because if it is lights out, I'm not going to know about it anyway. And if there is something more, I'm excited to find out what that is when my time comes, not looking at precipitating that process. Unfortunately, Michelle, I would say that a lot of people, maybe a lot of folks that you come across, they are facilitating their early demise, and sometimes they don't even realize it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and I was just talking to a friend whose daughter is 22, and this is a common trend. That's why I mentioned this here, is that, you know, she's 22, and he said, you know, I don't know what to do about my daughter. She's 22. She has high blood pressure. She has high cholesterol. And, you know, she just eats junk food and she drinks Coca-Cola all day. And I can't. And I said, well, you can't do anything about it. She's 22. What are you going to do? And I said, you know, just she's going to have to learn that, you know, she needs to focus on eating healthy and, you know, having more energy. And it's really tough, because I think a lot of people today just close their minds to the fact that, you know, we live this sedentary lifestyle and we live this high sugar lifestyle, high alcohol lifestyle. And the trend of chronic illness is just moving downward into the lower ages. And we're seeing children with high blood pressure. We're seeing children with diabetes. And, you know, and it's really sad that people need to wake up. And I like what you said about the reincarnation, because that leads me to, like, karma. And, you know, the Indian philosophy, where the chakras come from, have this concept of karma. No, it doesn't matter if you don't believe in reincarnation. The essence of karma is even in the Bible, you know, what you reap is what you sow. And that goes for your body as well. And if you want to live a great life, some people say, like, why do I have such bad luck? You know, why am I down? Why am I down and out? Why am I not making more money? Well, look at the karma that you're creating by the actions that you choose every day, including those actions for your health, you know? And if you're choosing foods which are not life-sustaining, then you can't expect the outcome of your actions to be flourishing, because every single action causes a reaction, and that's what the principle of karma is that every single action creates a reaction. So if you think about it as like, oh gosh, I have to go on a diet and it really sucks that I have to give up this food, look at it as I am karmically balancing. I'm balancing my karma so that not only can my body get better, but my life can get better. And I really love that concept of karma, because it helps you to make better choices.
Yeah. You know, on a couple things. Number one is I would offer those people who think they have bad luck to be grateful, because if you had no luck at all, you could have no luck at all. Okay. An old joke. But I heard a report just the other day, Michelle, regarding our food. And this was rather astounding. I don't know if this is across the board, including organic food or not, but I'd half suspect it is, because everybody's using ostensibly the same soil that's been there for decades, for centuries, millennia. The report said that the level of, I'll call it nutrition or vitality, that is in our foods today, as compared to the food of literally of the 1940s and earlier, the food of the 1940s is 40 times greater than that of the food we're eating today. Now, I don't know if that includes organic or not. I didn't see any breakdown in that regard. But if that's true, if it is true, and then I'm going to throw one other item into the mix. On this program, we've talked about what things are, what is stuff, okay? Science has basically said everything is energy, right? And I've made the argument, well, if everything is energy, then what difference does it make what you eat? And I will love to have your comment on that, but also talk a little bit about this aspect of, you know, the realities of today. All right, so it's 40 times greater in the 1940s than it is today. Where do we go from there in terms of consuming the things as opposed to taking bottles and bottles of all kinds of supplements and things, because I still want to believe that I don't need to do that because I don't want to rattle when I walk. I want to be able to just eat the foods that are going to keep me going.
Yeah. So as far as your answer about organic food, there's been a ton of studies done on organic food. And unfortunately, a lot of the conventional food growers tend to block a lot of the studies that come out from organic food studies because they focus on things like crop yield. And there are actually four measures that say that crops are actually superior to other crops, i.e. organic foods versus conventionally grown foods. And so actually, if you are to make a choice, choose organic foods because they are nutritionally superior on many levels. It's not, you're correct, because we've been destroying our soil and because even organic farmers, they need at least 3 years to turn around soil that's been treated with pesticides and herbicides and to have that natural nitrogen, because it's in fact the nitrogen in the soil that causes us to have better plants. And it's that natural source of nitrogen that takes a while to reestablish into the soil. But let me give you an example. The phytonutrients, you know, what phytonutrients are that create the antioxidants that help our bodies fight off the free radicals, just so you don't have to take 100 supplements. So in organic food, they've tested things like tomato ketchup, even that's organic, and the phytochemical lycopene, which is in red fruits and vegetables. Lycopene, actually organic ketchup, if you're just to take ketchup, has 400 times more of the phytochemical lycopene than non-organic ketchup. So even though it is less superior to our soil 100 years ago or even 80 years ago, it's definitely worth doing that. Now, the other thing you can do is grow your own fruits and vegetables. If you live in a climate where you can grow your own fruits and vegetables, that's the other solution. And in my book, Enlightened Medicine, I also talk about, you know, if you don't have a garden, if you live in an apartment and you have sun somewhere, you can do potted plants, fruits and vegetables. And I know my sister who lives in Chicago did that. So that is actually the answer to that question. The answer to your other question about energy and why, if everything is energy and information, then why does it even matter? Because energy is energy. It's energy has frequencies and there are frequencies of energy. And if you have, let's say you just, you consume fast food and alcohol, that has a much lower vibrational frequency than if you were to consume organic food and drink distilled or reverse osmosis water. It's just, it's about taking your energy level to the next level. And the foods that are destructive to you, like, you know, high cholesterol foods and fatty foods and, like I said, alcohol, they just have a lower vibrational frequency. So that's going to bring you lower levels of energy.
Mm. Well, we've talked about, of course, that whole aspect, too, of vibration. And, of course, then that leads us all into the subject of sound and vibration and all of those different things. And what I found very fascinating is the research that was done, and this is going back a lot of years, by an Indian by the name of Jagadish Chandra Bose. And he created a Cresco graph. And it basically measured what's referred to as the Turgor pressure, the equivalent of human blood pressure, in plants. And the change in that pressure and the plant when subjected to different, if you will, stimuli, whether it be emotion, whether it be, he even did a test with using chloroform on a plant. And you could see the change from using his device, and he administered the antidote, whatever that is, and of course the plant came back. And I often humorously say that, well, if plants are alive and living, vegans have got a real problem, because if they don't want to eat living animals, plants are alive too. So now what are we left with? Rocks and dirt. Everybody has to make their own choices in that regard, as far as what at what level they're going to consume what items or food products that are made available. I just did an interview not too long ago, participated in an interview in regards to the products of bees, for example. And obviously everybody knows honey. And then, of course, there's bee pollen. And then there's the royal jelly, and there's the propolis and so forth. And what's amazing to me is that, of course, they have all of these items that if we weren't around harvesting that stuff, I have a feeling that stuff would just build up and they would be moving from hive to hive and so on and so forth. It is said, too, that without bees, we wouldn't have the pollination of all of the plants in particular and all of the various wonderful things we have in the produce section of our stores. Is your thought too, and when we're done with this part of it and we're going to go into the chakras, is your thought also to, if you're going to shop in a grocery store, shop at the ends, stay out of the middle?
Yeah, definitely. I always preach, like, you know, if you want to be alive, take living foods. And living foods means that if it's been a really long time since your food has seen the sun, then it's probably not healthy for you. So we're talking about canned foods, frozen foods, processed foods, or if it's never seen the sun because it's been chemically produced in a factory. Because, you know, the Indian concept of prana or life force or life vitality is that you are creating life with everything you ingest, not only your food and drink, but your emotions as well and your experience as well. So yeah, stay away from the processed foods. Stay away from the frozen foods as much as you can, the canned foods, and go for the fresh foods, and you will have better life. And it's not about living to be 100. It's not about living to be 150 and defying the odds. It's about living your life well now. I talk to so many people who are so depleted of energy. They're so tired. They have no energy to do anything. And you know, they sit on the couch and they play their video games or they watch TV because they just don't have the energy to go about life and do exciting things and make a difference in other people's lives and live out their life purpose. And it's because they're not consuming the right foods and they're not, you know, they're not feeding their body what it needs in order to have that vitality.
And in this day and age, I'm just curious. You don't have to answer the question if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you had a flu shot?
I don't get flu shots.
Okay. Even as a kid, your parents did not you go down to the school and that kind of thing?
I'm old enough that they didn't exist when I was a kid.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah. Flu shots really probably didn't come around until maybe my mid-20s. Like, I don't remember anyone ever talking about flu shots in the 80s and 90s. Like, probably like late 90s it started. Like, I don't know, but I was born in 1970. I don't care if anyone knows how old I am, but yeah, like when I was a kid, we didn't have flu shots. I don't know.
Well, and that's, and that's fine. I've got 10 years on you. They did have them when I was going to school, obviously where you went, they didn't, but nonetheless, here's the thing. Have I had, certain diseases over the years? Yes. Yes, I have. However, I have also not taken abundance of antibiotics and so forth to get rid of them. Now, I have been diagnosed with high blood pressure. However, it's in my head. Yet I'm still taking a pill daily just to make sure that it stays low. Although I still argue, how do you know that that high level that you're reading there isn't my normal, my personal individual normal? But at the same time, out of respect for my wife and her concerns, I go ahead and I take the pill. But that's pretty much it. And that's pretty much all I've ever used. And I found, for example, if I've ever had inflammation, for example, I am currently utilizing I believe this is either Vedic or Ayurvedic remedy, belladonna.
Oh, yeah. And belladonna is a homeopathic remedy, yep.
Yeah. And this particular one is for pain and inflammation, of which sometimes I have in my joints. And I take the drops, about 10, under the tongue. As opposed to another pill that I had been prescribed. And it seems to, although I've only started using it recently, it seems to have some effect. So there are various and sundry remedies that are out there. The question is, are you, the listener, are you willing to seek them out in order to avoid more problems down the road? You and I'm sure, Michelle, have seen the commercials of the pharmaceuticals that tell you, oh, this is going to be great for what ails you. Then they go down the lawn. Matter of fact, 3/4, if not more, of the commercial are the side effects. And I had to laugh at one that was, I can't even remember the name of it, which is just fine, for a heart condition, right? Mm-hmm. One of the side effects was the heart condition you were taking it for. And I'm just thinking, no, I'll stick with the heart condition solo.
It's insane. You know, I was doing my research for my other book, Enlightened Medicine. And so did you know that pharmaceutical companies, first of all, my joke was, why did they start advertising to us? Were customers that hard to get?
Yeah.
You know, the human race just not get sick. You know, it's so crazy. But you know, they spent last year $7 billion in advertising, which is more than the top 5 advertisers combined.
Wow.
And that's that's the direct to consumer ads, meaning to us directly, not even to the doctors. So $7 billion in that, you know, Mother Nature has given us remedies, herbal remedies, whether it be homeopathic or herbal remedies, for every single ailment under the sun. Like, we have it here on Earth. We have them. And it's because we're so incredibly brainwashed by the $7 billion of direct consumer ads that we think that that's the only way out. And unfortunately, the doctors, you know, what they're taught in medical schools is that precise remedy is like, they don't have a whole lot of options that they're taught in medical school. They have prescriptions or surgery. Those are really the two things that they have. Yeah. So,
and what's really sad is that, for example, the facility where my wife happens to work, they're dropping the outside medical insurance because the insurance company is raising the rates for that corporation by upwards of $6 million. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, how is it that they're losing money? They got to jack the rates up that high, you know. And of course, the company is saying, "Eh, we're going to have our own in-house insurance," which supposedly isn't as good. But what is so frustrating is that because of the fact that, and maybe you remember this, you might remember this, in the 80s and 90s, chiropractic, for example, it was struggling like you would not believe to try to get some credibility. And of course, now it is, and most insurance, if not all, now will cover chiropractic treatments. Now, pardon me, we're talking about acupuncture, acupressure. And other alternative treatments. We fought with the insurance company for a couple of years after paying out of pocket nearly $1,000 to our acupuncturist to get coverage for treatment that worked. My wife has not had the pain in the area that she was having the acupuncture for since she had the treatments. But the insurance company refused to pay, and yet the acupuncturist was in the list of names, and they claimed, oh no, she's not in network. I had the list of the in-network facilitators. You had the wrong request form. The doctor's the one that gave us the form. Why are we paying the penalty for a doctor's mistake? Et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it was like every single turn. We ended up getting nowhere. We just said, you know what? It's not worth the time or the energy. Let's just go this other direction. We're going to go another direction real quickly here. As soon as we come back from break, we're going to jump into the effects of treating our conditions, maintaining our health, doing that preventative maintenance through the chakras, that vibratory force that lives within each one of us here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Please stay tuned.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, and we are here talking about chakras. We're talking with Michelle Fonden, and I want to thank you so much for staying with us here on the program. I mean, we've got a long way to go, so let's jump right back into this. The word chakra is more part of the nomenclature today, more part of the vocabulary of today's people, society, if you will, than has ever been before, yet it is still probably just as misunderstood, question mark?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes, I'm texting her, folks, as I'm doing this so that I get the right punctuation.
So the word chakra, so a lot of people confuse it. What is it? What is the chakra exactly? And a chakra the word means wheel or disc. And what it stands for in layman's terms is basically like a wheel of energy or a disc of energy that is situated in the body. And there are seven main chakras from the base of the spine all the way up through to the crown of the head. And it really, like we talked about, like everything is comprised of energy and information. And so each of these chakras correspond to areas in the body, physical areas in the body, but also emotional areas that happen in our lives and also parts of our personality and parts of our experience. And these chakras that are ever moving bits of energy within us can move slowly or move quickly. They can have blockages, just like an artery can have a blockage, or they could flow freely, just like an artery can flow freely.
And there is another book that I read many years ago, and I think it was at the recommendation of my mother. And it was a book called Joy's Way that dealt with the chakras. And even though we are going to stay focused on the seven, there are more than seven chakras in the human anatomy, if you will, that are all over the body, especially at the joints, but in other places. But they're minor, if you will, energy centers.
Yes. Yeah, so there are many, many different chakras. And just like if you would think, I think most people are familiar with, like you said, acupuncture or acupressure. If you think about it, acupuncturists and acupressure specialists, what they're doing is they're releasing those chakras in the body when they're putting the needles in or they're putting the pressure on those pressure points. That's actually what they're doing. They're moving energy. And so you can think of it as that, is that they're very, very similar.
So let's talk about these seven chakra centers. And each one is obviously has a numerical rating, has a color on the color wheel, vibration, et cetera, et cetera. And we could start at the root, at the base, number one, as it were, and just start from there. Let's kind of work our way up, if you will, as to help people who are not that familiar, almost like chakra 101, to get people familiar, at least to the onset, and then we'll dive deeper into this.
Okay, sure. So the first chakra, the root, is at the base of the spine. So just think of the area of the first three vertebrae, the perineum, the scrotum, if you're a man. And that whole area, including the bladder, is the first chakra. And so it includes those anatomical parts, but it also includes your sense of security and having your basic needs met on earth. So if you feel that your basic needs are met and you're taken care of and you have no fear, then that chakra is open and aligned. And if you don't, if you live in fear constantly, that might mean that that chakra is blocked. So the color that corresponds to that chakra is red. The Sanskrit term is Muladhara, which means root. And it has a mantra sound called LAM, L-A-M. So each of these chakras have a little mantra sound or a vibration that you can use to help to alleviate tension or open up those chakras. Then we move to the second chakra. So if you can visualize right above your pubic bone, but below your navel, and just imagine a spinning disc and the color is orange. The mantra sound is VAM. And that's our sexual and creativity center. And some people, when they visualize the chakras, they think like, oh, it's only in the front. Because mostly I'm naming organs that are situated like kind of in the front.
Yeah.
But it also moves through to the back. So that's one thing you need to think about too. So instead of moving like vertically a spinning wheel, think of the spinning wheel moving horizontally to your body. So if you're standing, the wheel is spinning, that kind of like slicing you in two, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, okay.
So like, I don't know, trying to get a visual here. And then we move up to the third chakra, which is the area of the solar plexus. That's probably the easiest to understand so far. In the solar sun, the solar plexus is around the navel and the color is yellow. The mantra sound is RAM. This is called Manipura or the lustrous gem. And this is our personality. So, you know, it corresponds to all the organs that are situated right behind your navel, but it also corresponds to your ego, kind of your ego in a good way and your ego in a bad way. So thinking about how you express yourself personally to the outer world and your sense of self. Then we move up to the fourth chakra, which is the heart, Anahata, source of love and compassion. So the lower chakras were chakras of matter. The fourth chakra is combined. It's matter and spirit, just meaning that as we move upwards in the chakras, we get more toward a spiritual awakening or just connection to the universe and universal energy and the divine. So they're less heavy chakras, if you think about it that way. So the heart, of course, love and compassion. It has many vital organs, the heart, the lungs, the bronchial passages. And so it is what it is. It's love, compassion, opening your heart up to love and receiving love and giving love. And the color is emerald green and the mantra sound is YUM. Then we move to the fifth chakra, the throat, Vishuddha, source of verbal expression. It encompasses your thyroid gland, your parathyroid glands, your thymus gland, your throat, your larynx, your tongue, your jaw. So it's all about speaking your truth. It's about being able to verbalize your speaking, being able to clearly understand your own personal truth and being able to express that to others. The color is blue and the mantra sound is HUM. And then we're going to move to the sixth chakra, just to visualize your third eye in between your eyebrows. It's called Ajna, the center of intuition. This is like your sixth sense, which everyone has. Some people may be more aware or less aware, but it's there. And that's our center of intuition. And when you have eye troubles, you might have a blocked sixth chakra or not being able to visualize or see things clearly. It's also the area of clairvoyance or being able to have psychic visions, but also being able to just see things. In order to create a future, we need to be able to visualize that future. Then we move up to the seventh chakra, Sahasrara. This is our thousand petal lotus or source of enlightenment. Just think of a nice, beautiful lotus flower at the crown of your head. The color is either violet or white. And the mantra sound is OM, and I'm sure everyone has heard OM at some point in yoga class or just in general. And this is our source of enlightenment, and it's our spiritual connection, not only to ourselves, our higher selves, it's our spiritual connection to others and also to the universe and the divine.
I remember an experience, and it just happens to have been around this time or season, around Easter, we were having a celebration at my parents'. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea how this got started back in the back bedroom, but my sisters and mother were in the back bedroom and they would have one of the girls lay down, and my mother was, as well as my other sisters, scanning the body, just hovering above it. And my mom wasn't giving them any direction, just said, tell me what you're feeling, what you're sensing, what you're aware of. And I thought that was rather interesting. When I walked in the room, I'm going, okay, I've seen this before, because I had been a part of some different programs over the years. And they had me lie down. I said, okay, fine. And my eldest sister, who at the time was part of a very rigid Christian, and I refer to them as sects. Catholicism is a sect of Christianity, folks, so I'm not being disparaging of anyone in particular. And as she is has her eyes closed and is scanning above my body, she comes to my throat, though she was not aware of it, and she says, "I'm feeling a lot of heat in my hands." And of course, when she opened her eyes, it was right over my throat, which, of course, in the job I'm in, makes a whole lot of sense. However, it was very difficult to convince her of what her experience was, as if to say, if it isn't in the book, it's not an experience that I'm allowed to have, kind of thing, which I was really disheartened by, because I thought, wow, there are people who are so into their philosophies that they will literally, and even the social structure of those philosophies, will tell you that if there is nothing in the dogma or doctrine to support what you've experienced, you didn't have that experience. It's not possible. And yet it's like, wow, we literally, you know, you talked earlier about the, I guess it was, now I'm trying to remember which chakra it was. Maybe it was the solar plexus and the dark and the light, the good and the bad sides of us, if you will. And it's like denying part of who we are. We all have that shadow side, as the term goes. And it's not about trying to circumvent it or subdue it. It's about, in a manner of speaking, sort of making peace with and bringing it into balance.
Yeah. Well, you brought up a really interesting point. And I actually produced a video on YouTube yesterday about this, which is really funny. And the reason is because I'm a yoga teacher and I'm an Ayurvedic practitioner and meditation teacher. And there was a woman who called me out of the blue to buy something off of Craigslist. And we got into a conversation about her health. And she said to me that she was just ailing. She gave me the list of all the things that were happening in her health. And, you know, my heart went out to her. And I said, well, you know, I just wrote this book and, you know, I think it could probably help you. And, you know, and I teach yoga. And she, as it turns out, she wasn't too far away. And she said, well, here's the problem. I'm Christian, which, full disclosure, I'm Christian as well. And she just said, well, I just think that I can't do meditation because it's against my religion. And I said, what? You know, and I've heard this before. I've actually heard this before. This is not the first time. And I produced a video yesterday and posted it on YouTube to say, look, guys, you know, if your beliefs are preventing you from healing because you won't open your mind. And, you know, I said, it says nowhere in the Bible does it say thou shalt not practice yoga, thou shalt not practice meditation, you know, in fact, Jesus meditated.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and I said, you know, it's the same thing like saying I can't eat Chinese food because many Chinese people are Buddhist, therefore I couldn't eat Chinese food. Nobody is out there saying that. Nobody. You know, people are saying I can't practice yoga because it comes from India and there are Hindus in India, therefore I can't because it's against Christianity. And I said, that's utterly ridiculous. You know, they're,
yeah,
give us a brain. And as much as, you know, I love, you know, and I'm proud to say I'm a Christian, but God gave us a brain and the brain says, you know, if there's something that is good and wholesome and good for you, like a practicing, you know, energy medicine, like your sister was experiencing probably like a Reiki type healing for you through her hands. And, you know, that's something beautiful and that's a gift, you know, it's a gift from God. It's best to embrace those gifts.
It was, honestly, it was a little on the disappointing side simply because of that fact that here's a very intelligent woman. I mean, she went to university. She is still a musician and all these things. And I haven't talked with her about it since it happened, just because, you know, it's like, okay, don't want to poke the bear necessarily. But because there have been conversations about my philosophy of life. And we had a conversation about that as well during another holiday, big mistake, at that time, but that's been rectified. Basically telling me, I think you have a problem and blah, blah, blah. And I said, look, my philosophies, my beliefs of yesterday are not my beliefs of today are not my beliefs of tomorrow, because I'm still growing and experiencing and all of that. And, you know, how can I lock in? There are some that I have locked into, but temporarily, be just because I haven't found anything better that matches my inner knowing, if you will. And I think that to me is one of the things that we try to promote on this program is, you know, we lay out this smorgasbord, Michelle, with your material as well as everybody else's. And we ask people to come check it out, check out the table, take a sniff, see if you like it. If you do, take some, you know, if you don't like it, stay away from it. But keep coming back, because who knows? Tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, you might. My gosh, I've been doing these interviews for almost 40 years, this show for over 10. And it's hard for me to believe that if someone were to come back in a week, a month, a year, 5 years, 10 years, they wouldn't find something more, something greater, if you will, that would facilitate. And I want to talk a little bit about this whole aspect of, each chakra has an area that it covers, shall we say. And I was also noticing too in, let's see, 1, 2, 3, was it the fourth? Well, I'm thinking it was the fourth, the heart chakra. Mm-hmm. And let me just, I need to find that specific page. There it is. And there was, you have listed here, of course, the heart chakra, Anahata, which is air. Emerald green is the color. You mentioned yum, but there was also a special heart chakra mantra, which I have to tell you, through radio, through television and movies, we've heard this phrase time and time again, and it was usually used more just as a side, really didn't mean much of anything. Om Mani Padme Hum. And we've heard that time and time again, especially from the 60s as well. We heard Hare Krishna, you know, at the airport kind of thing. And it just seems to me that if we can hone in on just one of these chakras, I'm going to take it up to the third eye. You mentioned that if you're having visual problems, I was born into this world legally blind. Three conditions: nystagmus, stigmatism, and cataracts. Mm-hmm. And I've had countless surgeries as a kid. The last one I had was at the age of 36 when I had a lens implant in my right eye, and I started driving. My left eye, I had to say goodbye to that sight, not that there was much there to begin with, through glaucoma. And so now I'm thinking, all right, she says that, and I should know this, I've studied this stuff over the years. If there is a visual issue in this regard, I'm down to one eye. Well, actually two, because I have my third eye. but they don't make glasses for the third eye. Then if there's a blockage, I may not be able to necessarily regain the sight of actual literal physical sight, right. But maybe there's something deeper. There's something at another level, psychologically or spiritually, that I need to deal with. And I'm not asking you to go into specifics for me, Richard Dugan. I'm asking you to maybe talk about this particular element, this particular chakra, the third eye, in this context of our vision versus, let's say, our sight.
So it's really interesting, because Ajna, the third eye, our center of intuition, is probably the least worked on chakra in the Western world. And here's why. The reason is because even though we're a society of want to be believers, we're a society of unbelievers in general, right? If you were to take the general consensus overall, yeah. Why are people so fascinated with stories like Harry Potter and, you know, like the, the fantasy fiction type things? It's because we want to believe in magic. We want to so badly, But we don't. And when things happen that through our sense of intuition, oftentimes we write it off as like, oh, that's just a coincidence, or, oh, that's just, you know, it's good timing or something. But they don't think of it as like, wow, I really foresaw this through my sense of intuition, through my third eye. I saw this coming. I'm making this happen. I'm co-creating. And so I think, like, even in your sense that maybe what happened to you, you said being legally blind from birth, is not so much as like, oh, this person has a grave blockage, which it could be something karmic that you carried forward from another life. Mm-hmm. But it could be that maybe that is your chakra by default. Like, that's the chakra you need to work on for your entire life, to work on this sense of vision. Like you said, this inner vision, this not being able to see through your two eyes, but being able to see through the third eye. And the best practices for that are meditation, really meditation, yoga, all the inner spiritual journeys that help you to recognize that gift of the sixth chakra of the sixth intuition that we all have, but we don't sharpen it as much as we can, which is, it's such a beautiful gift once you sharpen it.
Right.
So you're able to have that vision. But yeah, and everyone has their chakra, right? My chakra is the fifth chakra. And I write this in my book. I wrote it in the first book as well, that I had thyroid cancer when I was 28. And that was not the first time. It was not the thyroid cancer, but the first time that I had been ailing in the throat. I grew up with tons of tonsillitis and strep throat. I mean, I was sick all the time in the throat when I was a kid.
Wow.
And it finally culminated when I was 17 that I got mononucleosis and I had a big abscess inside of my throat where I couldn't breathe. My airway passages were completely blocked off.
Mm.
And they had to go in and do an emergency, you know, surgery to open up the abscess so I could breathe again. And then, of course, you know, take that through to age 28, and I had the thyroid cancer. And it was at that point that I learned about the chakras, and I said, okay, let me backtrack. Let me see what else has been going on in my throat. And then it was a wake up for me. It was an awakening. It really was, because I said, wow, okay, fifth chakra, verbal expression, being able to speak your truth. What do I need to work on here? And it was really that. It was that. I needed to work on being able to effectively express myself and my inner truth.
Yeah, it is one of those things that my philosophy doesn't prevent me from meditation. My political affiliation deems it unhealthy due to the fact that I will receive guidance outside of the normal structure that is appropriate for our political philosophy. Ergo, I mean, this is how far some people have gone, that they will not listen to anyone else, let alone listen to themselves. And I've often shared with people, who do you think that you should listen to more? Okay, there's this individual that you are around all the time, 365 days a year, 24/7. And I just throw these numbers out. And then there are these individuals who you are acquainted with at one level or another, and you are around them. Again, arbitrary numbers here, no true study or statistic to prove these stats. Maybe 5 minutes a week, and you put more weight into what they say than the individual that you are with 24/7, 365.
Right.
Now, most people don't quite get, well, who's this person that I'm with 24/7, 365? It's you.
Yeah.
And you have been given... It is part of who and what we are. Whether you want to call it your gut. I would venture that this is where the solar plexus aspect comes in, that particular chakra, in terms of utilizing our intuition, that still small voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that, you know, like I said, we've talked over and over again on this program about intuition and how important it is, how vital it is. It's never going to lead you astray. It might challenge you. It might put you in a situation to challenge, you know, your position, your place, and so forth, for the purposes of growth, not for harm. You know, that's at least that's my belief. I'm not sure what you're.
You know, and I always say, like, let love be your guiding force and not fear.
Yes.
Because most people are making decisions based on fear. And when they say, oh, I can't do that or I can't do this, often it's that they're fearful of something or something happening. And I always say, if your decision is based on fear, then it's probably the wrong decision for you. And if it's based in love, if you can say in all honesty that I'm doing this out of love for myself, then that you're right on track. But anything that you do based in fear is usually not the right choice for you.
Yeah. And that's really what it comes down to. And that's one of the things that I've always found so interesting, especially when working in the 80s and early 90s. I was working for 15 years for a Christian radio station. And that was a phrase that was used over and over again. You know, God is not the author of fear and da da da. And yet every time I turned around, the next message was fear-based.
Oh, no.
You know, and I'm going, wait a minute, wait, hold it, stop. I mean, I even think of the entire book of Revelations, fear-based. You know, there's something wrong here. It's not my mental, my brain, again, I don't know where I got it, but it says, this doesn't make any sense. It does not make any logical sense. I've got to rethink this. I've got to reprocess this and try to make sense of it. I don't have to do that with the information that you're providing us with here on the program because it makes perfect sense. One of the things that I found so fascinating, for example, about Chinese medicine, let alone Ayurvedic, Indian medicine, and so forth, they had no FDA. They just knew, I think from their intuition, from their higher self, from the divine, if you will, that it worked. And that's why they used it, because they knew that it worked.
Mm-hmm.
You've also written another book called The Wheel of Healing. I keep thinking of Vanna White, spinning that wheel of healing with Ayurveda.
Yeah.
What is it about, I'm using this term very generic and general to cover a lot of land. Eastern medicine incorporates Indian and Chinese medicine because, and this is a funny thing, depending upon which direction you go on the planet, it's either Eastern or Western to us.
True, correct.
But be that as it may, what is it about it that has intrigued you so much to make this your life's work? What was the catalyst that began this particular process in your life that brings you to us today?
Yeah, well, actually, so I mentioned a little bit about my journey with thyroid cancer, but actually it started before then. I learned yoga when I was 18 and I started mindfulness meditation, which I didn't really know how to meditate. But when I found Ayurveda in particular during my journey into healing from cancer, because I was looking for something that talked about root cause of illness, because Western medicine doesn't talk about root cause. I wanted to know what is the root cause of my illness so that I can never get it again. Like, I was interested in just never having to deal with disease again. So what I found was that Ayurvedic medicine, which is 5,000 years old, at least, they don't know exactly, it's more than 5,000 years, but it dealt with the root cause. And for me, it made so much sense that you can get to the root cause of disease. You can get to the root cause of your illness, your ailment, your pain. And you do this through so many means, but it's all about integrating your mind, body, soul, and spirit, and everything else that your life has to deal with. And the one thing that attracts me most to these types of medical systems is that they're tested and true. They've been around for thousands of years and they work. And it's something that's so beautiful that works in concert with nature, in concert with the rhythms of the universe versus working against it. And for me, it made so much sense because I said, you know, if something's lasted this many thousands of years and it's still the same today as it was then and it hasn't changed and they don't need any FDA studies to prove it and they don't need any, you know, research programs to prove it, that it does work and it's real.
Yeah.
And so that's why it attracts me. It's attractive for me.
Well, the other aspect, I'm sure, is the fact that, well, it works. It works. Oh, my gosh, it works. And of course, there's the other element that we struggle with in our society here in the United States specifically, because I find it fascinating. And this is just my observation, that the United States of America, even at its founding and since, has had this attitude that we want no help from anyone else. We will figure it out ourselves, in spite of the fact that other peoples of other parts of the world have had the same kinds of problems, have come up with a solution, and have offered it up. And it's as if, you know, that old joke about how I was out on the roof of this house in the middle of a raging storm and the floodwaters were there. And this thing came along and I said, no, I'm waiting for God to save me. And that thing came along and no, I'm waiting for God to save me. And finally, this thing came along and I said, no. And then the floods came and washed me away and I drowned and died. And I said, God, why didn't you help me? So, well, I sent you this and this.
Yep.
Exactly. And that seems to be the attitude of Americans, that we can't learn from other people. But you are, I have to say indirectly anyway, or subconsciously, that's what you're trying to tell people is we can. And yes. In your case, I have. Mm-hmm. How are you incorporating that inculcate, I don't know what word I want to use here. how are you trying to help people to get this message that it's okay? I know you made reference to my example, for example, of people with these philosophies. My religion says I can't meditate and so forth. Yeah. But how what's been your best technique, if you will, that you've shared with people? Is that it, or is there something else that's worked as well?
Honestly, it's just like an ongoing conversation, because people are very reticent. And I think here's the thing, it's the solution is a little bit more complicated, but I think through my writing, through all these books that I've written about the matter and about all of my YouTube videos that I do and the conversations I have with people, I think if you can win people to your side and thinking that you're just like all this information that you're giving them is for their best interest, and to just start to turn around society's view of what health and wellness should look like, that health is the norm. And right now illness is the norm in the United States. We have 155 million Americans with at least one chronic illness, which is over half of the population. And so the trend is illness right now. And that's not the norm. What the norm is wellness. So I think it's just by being able to like be out there in the public and just stating that fact and being like, it's not Western medicine that's necessarily going to help you. It's a great last resort. It's great in emergencies. It's great for, you know, stage 4 cancer, but for things like chronic illness, you need other methods that are going to help you to heal. And it's just getting the word out there and one by one, getting people to believe it and to believe that they can work hard for their health, because I think unfortunately many people want the easy fix. And what I'm helping them to realize is that the easy fix is really not a fix, because as soon as you take one prescription pill, all the side effects from that prescription pill typically lead you to a second and a third and a fourth, and they create more problems than not. So yeah, that's really, it's my global message. I don't know. I'm hoping that a lot of other people have the same message to deliver so that it can hit more people.
Well, again, I'm grateful for the fact that you are out there spreading this word, if you will. And I'm hoping that people will avail themselves of the work that you're doing. What is the website you want folks to go to get further information? I know your book is available on Amazon and other locations as well as through your website. But tell us how people can contact you on the line.
Two ways. MichelleFondinAuthor.com is my website. And my YouTube channel, which I post daily videos, is also Michelle Fondin Author on YouTube.
We encourage folks to go to the website, and we also encourage them to pick up a copy of Chakra Healing for Vibrant Energy, as well as her other work as well, the Wheel of Healing with Ayurveda. This is also the Chakra Healing is exploring your seven energy centers with mindfulness, yoga, and Ayurveda. Mindfulness is something that has become more in vogue lately. Can you define that for us a little bit?
Yeah, you know what's so funny is that I really, it makes me laugh when I hear the word mindfulness, because I learned meditation, and meditation is literally about going out of your mind. So
I like that. I like that a lot. That's terrific. I like that. But yeah. But in terms of, I've studied and I've my metaphysical primer is Autobiography of a Yogi, and of course in it talks a great deal about meditation and all of the different types of meditation. I adhere more to I believe it's of Teresa of Avila's phrase that God is amongst the pots and the pans. In my case, since I don't work with pots and pans. God is amongst the computer screens and microphone springs, or whatever you want to call it. that's my meditation, if you will. I live in an area of Santa Barbara that is beautiful. It is rural, where we get to see a lot of nature. And so when I'm up there, and especially now with everything so green after some of the rains that we've had, there's such a peacefulness to it. And even on this day, I am going to have to go out into the yard and I'm going to have to trim the weeds because they're getting a little tall. But even as I'm doing that, everything is still so green, and the aroma of cut grass. I love that. And those kinds of things. So for me, I'd have to say that's my meditation. Is there a mindfulness that we sort of, even though you use the phrase, you know, you've got to be out of your mind.
Well, I think, and that was kind of a joke, because
I know.
Really, that's what it is. It's like we're so much in our minds that meditation really should be out of the minds. But you know what? Instead of mindfulness, I really like the word awareness. Mm-hmm. I think that what you were just describing is more awareness. It's that awareness of the beauty around you. It's the awareness of the perfect orchestration of the entire universe. It's the perfect orchestration of nature. And that's really what the essence of mindfulness is saying. It's about embracing the present moment, being in the day to day, being in every moment, whatever moment that you're experiencing, actually being in it. And I believe that that's really the essence.
Well, I have to say that it is exciting to be a part of this process that even you are a part of. And We're all just trying to find our way. That's what I share. I don't even like to think about my own personal foibles sometimes, but they're there. We all have them. And we're all trying to make sense of everything in in this world, and trying to make peace within ourselves so as to be that change that we so desperately want to see in the world. And, you know, you made an interesting comment earlier in the program about the condition of the Western world, here in the United States in particular. And I thought this was an interesting note. In spite of the fact that the 2018 medical report that came out regarding the chief executive officer of the United States of America was supposedly very healthy, the observation is not so much. Obesity is rampant in this country, and apparently this particular chief executive officer is, as the phrase was used, borderline. I think he's crossed over the line, to be honest with you. And what's sad about it, seriously, what's sad about it is that he's a representative of all of us. And what's really even sadder is that he is, unfortunately, a true representation of our population on a physical level. And that's what's really disheartening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. I'm wondering how many, and again, this is not casting aspersions or being disparaging or anything politically or otherwise. This is just, look at the foods that this particular individual was eating during 2015 and 2016 that they had pictures of sitting in front of a big old bucket of KFC, and the list goes on, and it's like, surprise, surprise. And you were saying it earlier as well about karma. What comes around goes around.
Yeah.
And so I look at that and I say, okay, this is my teacher, and my teacher is showing me this is not the way I want to go.
Right.
And I think that that's the best example we can have there. Before I let you go, I first would like to thank you so much for being on the program. And should you find yourself, over here on the Central Coast, somewhere around Santa Barbara, we'd love to have you in studio to talk more about this. Cause,
thank you so much. Yeah, I'll be moving to Southern California end of July.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. Well, we hope to see you here in the neighborhood. And like I said, please come on up. We'll sit down in the studio and we'll knock out another interview, get caught up, and maybe you'll have another book in the works. I'm curious.
Yeah, definitely. I do. It's on the hush hush though.
Okay. All right. But you can tell us, cause it's just you and me. No. And then the final thing is, I have three final questions for you before I let you go. And, I want to remind our listeners, you can go to MichelleFondenAuthor.com. That is the website that we have here, basically, to find out more about her work. Again, Fonden, and that last name is spelled Fondin, and then the word author.com, MichelleFondenAuthor.com. We will be linked to your website as well. The first of three is, who is Michelle Fonden?
An exuberant servant of God.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
To reverse the trend of chronic illness in this country.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
To teach others to live in optimal health so that they can live out their life's purpose.
Again, thank you so much for joining us here on the program. And again, we do look forward to having you either in studio or again on Skype to talk more about these matters, because there is still a lot to talk about. Maybe the next time we have you on, we can get into some specifics of what we can do about certain conditions, similar to what we talked about with the third eye, as well as the fifth chakra for you and your thyroid and so forth, to assist people, especially with maybe some of the more common conditions that we're dealing with.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Richard.
You bet. The title of the book, once again, is Chakra Healing for Vibrant Energy, Exploring Your Seven Energy Centers with Mindfulness, Yoga, and Ayurveda. Michelle Fonden has been my guest. And again, the website is MichelleFondenAuthor.com. Again, we will be linked as well as at iTunes, SoundCloud, as well as the radio show's page at RichardDugan.com. Until next time, love Talal.